Cow Music, from the store, a book called I'll Tell You a Tale by J. Frank Dobie. In talking of bulls, I have dwelt long on their wonderful utterances. No wild animal or domestic either that I know of has as many vocal tones as the longhorn. In comparison, the bulls and cows of highly bred varieties of cattle are voiceless. The cow of the longhorns has one move for her newborn calf, another for it when it's older, one to tell it to come to her side, and another to tell it to stay hidden in the tall grass. Moved by amatory feelings, she has a low, audible breath of yearning. In anger, she can run the gamut. If her calf has died or been otherwise taken from her, she seems to be turning her insides out into long, sharp, agonizing balls. I have heard steers make similar sounds. They seem to be in the utmost agony of expressing something so poignant to them that the utterance meant more to them than life, something that would willingly be paid for by death. The bawling of thirsty cattle used to be all too familiar a sound on ranches before wells and tanks became plentiful, and the gasoline engine was devised to pump water when the wind failed to blow. Day and night, it would go on around empty water troughs, the moans getting weaker in time, though the endurance of a cow brute in keeping up a continual bawling would make insignificant the record of any long-winded filibuster holding the floor of Congress. Cattle walking a fence in futile anxiety to get back to a range they have been driven from make the same distressful, relentless sounds. The mingled bawls and lowings, each of a different pitch and timbre, of a big herd of mixed cattle held forcibly while hungry and thirsty after a day of being ginned about, frantic heifers, headstrong old cows separated from their calves, calves in misery for their mothers, yearlings adding to the din of the same way, in the same way that each of 40 babies will go crying on if one opens up, steers bawling for their lost powers of masculinity, or for the same reason that great Arctic wolves bay at the midnight sun, or for some urge that only God is aware of, bulls bellowing at the memory of past combats, or maybe without memory at all to make music to a cowman's ears, especially at a distance. Bill Haskell was a cowman of the old Texas breed that held their horses against the Comanches, their cattle against the thieves, and for a while their ranges against settlers. He fought his hardest fights, though, against blizzards and droughts. And now, after the rise, the plateau, and the fall of fighting and holding, Bill Haskell lay a-dying in faraway California. His friend Charles A. Jones of SMS Ranch went to the hospital to see him. "I'm not long for this country, Charlie," the cowman on his bed said. There was a pause, and he added, "Before I leave, there's one thing I'd mighty well to experience again. I've been wishing for it for days. You couldn't guess what it is." "No, but I imagine it has to do with ranching." "Yes, I'm camping again, away out yonder, where it's quiet and roomy, the wind's blowing over the mesquite grass. I'm listening one more time to an old Texas bull beller down the canyon. Don't talk to me about a lot of taller-faced angels singing hymns. Who that's ever rode a good horse or heard a good, genuine bull beller would want to be an angel anyhow?" One night, he told Pat Lambert, like Bill Haskell and the original Thomas O'Connor represented a breed of men and a breed of cattle that both vanished from the earth except for here and there in some kind of menagerie as isolation. In 1836, about the time when the word cowboy denoting borrowed border raiders after Mexican cattle came into use, Tim O'Connor had a ranch on which some of the lifted cattle cows stopped. As years passed, he accumulated sections of land by the score, and 10,000 cattle wore his THC-connected brand. Then, having galloped a little while with a year more swiftly than the weaver's shuttle, Tom O'Connor could no longer pull up into the saddle and ride free across the seas of grass in which his brand fattened and multiplied. One night he told Pat Lambert, his boss, to take all hands out the next morning and bring in the biggest herd that they could gather. To Pat Lambert, early morning always meant by 4 o'clock. After he and his hands had ridden out a few miles, they stopped to wait for daylight. They rode hard and they rode far, and about an hour before sundown, they drove past a vast herd of mixed cattle to the holding and cutting grounds not far from the O'Connor ranch house. Bulls were challenging, cows were bawling, stags were bellowing, calves were bleating, heifers, yearlings, young steers, and old mossy horns, all ages of cattle, both sexes milled about, their blended voices rising above the dust raised by their hooves. While some of the hands held the herd and others changed horses, Pat Lambert went out into the room where Tom O'Connor lay in his bed. "We made a big drag, Mr. Tom," he said. "I hear them," Tom O'Connor replied. His voice was thin. "What you want me to do with them, Mr. Tom?" "Nothing, Pat. Just hold them there. I'm a-dying, and I want to go out with their music in my ears." The end.